This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, we'll start things off today by looking at the weekly crop report. There were 3 days that allowed field work during the week ending on April 16th, and statewide the average temp was about 61 degrees, and that was 10 degrees above normal. Precip averaged about 8/10 of an inch, and that was 1/4 inch below normal. And topsoil moisture supply rated 4% short, 77% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply rated 7% short, 81% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planted had jumped to 6% last week, but that's still down compared to the 5-year average of 13%. And winter wheat headed had reached 3%. Winter wheat condition is looking good, rated 2% very poor, 4% poor, 20% fair, 60% good, and 14% excellent. And those few days that allowed field work allowed at least one local farmer to get some corn planted. This afternoon, we'll check in with Dave Leonard to see how things are looking in his area of northern Montgomery County.
We're up here east of Farmersville, north of Raymond, however you want to say it, kind of out in the middle of the panhandle. We basically raise corn and soybeans, and that's pretty much it, my wife and I.
Sounds good. How long have you been farming?
All my life. I can't tell you how old I am. That's a secret.
That's okay. So you've got some years of experience then. Kind of want to get an idea of what things look out in the field, what they look like out in the field, and how planting's going, and if you've had a chance to even get started with planting yet.
Yes, we got just a little bit in the ground. Everything kind of started rolling here last week. I told one of my neighbors it's like somebody turned on a switch. There was nothing, and then all of a sudden the roads are full of tractors and spray trucks and everything. But, yeah, everybody got, I think, a pretty good start. We caught about just under an inch of rain right here in my area Saturday night. Sunday morning, and so we're at a standstill right now. A lot of the, especially the bean stubble that's going to corn, a lot of crown vetch this year. It seems to be a little more rampant than in the past, so that's slowed things down a little. Some guys have been trying to spray it and deal with it, so but other than that, I would say we got rolling pretty good last week.
Well, sounds good. Do you think that weed pressure is from that mild winter we've had, or what are your thoughts?
Just talking at the coffee shop with all my neighbors and friends, that's pretty well the general consensus, just the mild winter and everything. A couple fellas told me just this morning they'd applied some fall herbicide and were having trouble with it breaking through it. So, Yeah, I'd say the mild winter is probably the culprit. And we can't complain about a mild winter, though. I'm township supervisor for Harville Township, and at our last meeting, Bob Matley, our road commissioner, said he never plowed a bit of snow this year at all. So they were just taking the plows off the other day, and so, yeah, that's not all bad.
Yeah, definitely. Makes things a little bit easier on some things. What about moisture? I know we've had a lot of rain, and that's kind of keeping us out of the fields, but do you feel pretty good about there being enough moisture in the ground for the crops?
Right now I do. Back, I would say there in the middle of March, we had that pretty good warm spell. I think we hit 70 some days, and we were dry, and rain was missing us. A lot of it was going south and north, but missing us right here in Panhandle and 2 or 3 county areas here. It sounds like we're going to have a kind of a wet week, so it may be a while before we get back in, but I think all in all we're in pretty good shape now.
And thanks again to Dave Leonard of Rural Farmersville for that report. And we'll be back with more ag news after these messages. As I'm sure you're already well aware, today is tax day, and it's probably good timing to reflect on how all of your tax dollars are being spent. Well, according to Mickey Paggy, who's an economist with the National Crop Insurance Services, lucky for farmers, agriculture represents a huge return on investment.
I think if you look at it broadly, a pretty good deal, I think. Everybody in America eats, and I think we probably have the best deal out there in terms of our food. We spend less money on food than any other country in terms of proportion of our income. And I think if you look at overall spending, foreign policy that underpins all of it is about 0.25% of the federal budget. And so if you look at it, put it in perspective, I think for every $100 contributed by taxpayers, only about 25 cents goes to the farm. So it's a pretty good deal.
Paggy said as America's farm policies have evolved, taxpayers are saving more and more. And a unique cost-sharing arrangement is what makes that possible.
Yeah, I think that's one of our fundamental underpinnings. And taxpayers benefit because farmers are active participants in the program. They have skin in the game, we like to say. Farmers have to pay a premium to get protection. All told, they've spent nearly $50 billion out of their own pockets for that protection since 2000. And before farmers get any return on that, they have to have shouldered at least a 25% loss. So it's not a guarantee, it's an insurance policy.
And he said farmers aren't the only ones chipping in.
Another major player, and this is the private sector, they pay indemnities from their own coffers. Most claims are paid in a timely fashion, much more so than would be through government programs that we had in the past. It's a far cry from the old days of the ad hoc disaster bills where taxpayers were on the hook for 100% of the payout, and what got paid and when it got paid was always up to the decisions made in Congress, which we all know go awfully slow when you're in the midst of a disaster on the farm.
Paggy went on to describe the current costs of crop insurance.
Crop insurance has trended down, actually, in terms of costs. Since the 2014 Farm Bill took hold, as we head into the next Farm Bill, I think it's important that we make that clear to folks and protect the budget that we have available for the Farm Safety Net and not weaken that going forward. We all know that the weather and the economy are sort of uncertain variables out there, and it's clearly something that we need to maintain. And I think there's no secret as to why we hear leaders at both the industry and in Congress saying that we need to keep a positive attitude and a strong crop insurance program going into the next Farm Bill.
And once again, those comments were from Mickey Paggy, an economist with the National Crop Insurance Services. And, of course, you can always find more information online at CropInsuranceInAmerica.org. In other national ag news, if confirmed next Monday, Ag Secretary nominee Sonny Perdue will have little time to oppose organic livestock rules finalized by the Department of Ag just a day before President Trump was sworn in. Politico reports the rules will go into effect on May 19th, but Congress has until April 28th to undo the measure, and Congress doesn't seem likely to take action. Large organic egg producers want the USDA to roll back portions of the Obama-era rule setting animal welfare standards for organic livestock and poultry, but need Perdue in place to do so. Under government rules, to take the rule off the books, Perdue would have to issue a new regulation, which is a years-long process. However, he can delay it almost indefinitely, and that's what egg producers are asking for. The rules set treatment standards for organic animals produced for meat, dairy, and eggs, including controversial provisions for outdoor access for poultry. Some of the nation's largest organic egg producers say the outdoor and space requirements for the hens would expose them to disease and cost millions to comply with due to the potential need for larger laying houses and pastures. And that does it for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.